I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
A Rayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
I think this should be a videoed podcast, I think, because
really?
Then people would see that as soon as that music starts, Holly leans over and turns on the floodlight.
Yes, the shine, particularly in my face. Everyone else thinks, why has Matt got a problem with the light? And it's because the light shine in my face.
That's because you're so angelic.
That's so true, Holly.
And you want to look so good.
Either that or you're just a vampire, and as soon as the lights come on,
that could also be true. Mm. Yeah.
We could film it. They should film this podcast.
Isn't that why we've got the lights on? I thought we were being filmed. Otherwise, what's the point of the lights?
But all of it, like, make it like 40 minutes of fantastic.
40 minutes, you just, oh, right, the whole thing unedited, they should release.
Unstreamed.
What a great idea.
I think this is a great idea.
When we talk about other stuff, we're not allowed to talk about.
Can you pass that suggestion on?
Yep, I will.
Thank
you.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, another Confessions podcast. Brother Matt's doing his thing.
Yep.
Sister Holly's doing her thing.
Uh huh.
Sister Susie is not, because she's having a well deserved break.
Absolutely.
Coming up, we're going to be stopping at the parish notice board for all the latest notices and five-star reviews that seem to praise Matt more than anyone else.
Of course they do. Mm-hmm.
We'll also head down the cold marble steps to the not-for-broadcast section where we store the confessions that have been delicately thrown into the recycling bin because they are just too filthy to make it anywhere. And we'll have the fabulous confessions from this week's Drive Time show on Greatest Hits Radio 4 till 7, including Michael's Cafe Catastrophe out of the frying pan, Mickey's terrible tent tale, Listening to the Wind of Change, Sid's confession, My Night Nurse, The Pain is Getting Worse, Pink from the Bell, which was an interesting
moment.
Was.
It doesn't normally come in
there. I don't know why that happened. No. Anyway, but first, it's a shocking tale taking us back to lockdown from Georgina in Search for the Hero.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession, which is called Search for the Hero, comes from Georgina. And I'm thinking, as I've mentioned today, that Matt will not be forgiving this.
I'm doubtful. I think I will forgive. I always try and find a way, don't I?
Okay. Well, the gauntlet is thrown.
Okay.
Georgina writes, Dear Simon and the Confessional Collective, I have confessed before. It felt good to cleanse my conscience. I've decided to do some further moral decluttering. So here goes. This happened during one of the many and varied versions of COVID lockdown. We were still clapping on our doorsteps on Thursday evenings, if that helps with the timeline. I was out in my car and I got a flat tire. Called straight into a tire repair shop, conveniently located, and they said the tire couldn't be repaired and a replacement was required. They said there was a bit of a wait, as only a limited number of mechanics were available, and advised me to go for a coffee while I waited. An awful lot of things seemed to be open for Georgina somehow. Anyway, they advised me that they needed the locking wheel nut thing to get the wheel off, and I told them that it was with the spare tyre in the boot. So I toddled off for a frothy coffee quite happily and returned after an hour to find my car had four brand new tyres, had been given a full valet, complete with a new little tree air freshener to make the car smell like a forest. Why anyone would want their car to smell like a forest, I'm not at all sure, but it did. And then I was told there was no charge.
Wow.
Obviously, I was confused, puzzled as to why this was happening. My tyres had been past their best, but they didn't really need fully replacing. And no charge? What was going on? Well, I discovered that Whilst the tyre fitter was locating my locking wheel nut thingy from the car boot, he'd found a box in my boot with full sets of PPE equipment, gloves, face masks, hand sanitizer and so on, plus a sign with an official NHS logo on stating midwife on visit. So for total disclosure, I may as well confess the lot at this point. The midwife on visit sign had been donated to me by my midwife friend so that I could park in the residence bay.
What?
When watching my local football team.
No.
And I told you. And the PPE box was there as my sister had left it in there the previous day and was for her job as a nursery worker. The tyre fitter said there was no charge for our NHS heroes. And I honestly did try to make a little bit of a protest, but was maybe not quite forceful enough or completely upfront about the truth of the items in my boot. I got four new tyres and a valet, not forgetting my little tree air freshener to make my car smell like a forest. And if you still haven't worked it out, Matt, I still have my midwife on visit sign. And I still use it when I go to the football.
Oh, no!
Recent MOT stated new tyres again required, however, and my little air tree freshener has long since lost its fresh pine aroma. I don't think I'm likely to receive such service again somehow. Do I get forgiveness or am I past redemption? Well, I would say that I think this is going to be very, very clear which way people are going to go. And the words past redemption, Georgina, are precisely the territory in which we're operating. We'll find out about Matt and whether my prediction was correct in just a moment. First of all, Holly.
Well, where do you even start with this? I think having a midwife sign and using it to park at your football club
is bad enough.
Is pretty bad. Not coming clean when obviously these guys were doing such a generous thing and obviously believed that, you know, you worked in the NHS and doing such amazing stuff, but actually you didn't and it was just happened to be in your car. You could have come clean at that point and just said, yeah, this is the situation, and you didn't, and that's not very good. And so for all those reasons, it's very easy not to forgive this, I'm afraid.
Yes, I mean, there was no doubt where Holly was going to land. The question is, where does Brother Matthew go with Georgina?
I mean, to be clear here, she did, you know, she did try to tell them that she wasn't a key worker. She put up a bit of a fight. And it's not her fault. She didn't know that they were going to find it all in the boot. The problem might come with the I'm still using the midwife sign to park for free at the football.
At the football.
So, I mean, at least she's come clean, hasn't she? She's come clean now.
And so therefore,
if she promises never to use it again, I'll forgive. But
on the basis of the evidence provided,
I'm going to say probably not forgiven.
Not forgiven.
Oh, boy.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
How about that?
Yes, it has to go. You have to go some to not get forgiven. But I suppose we base our forgiveness on remorse, don't we? Do they show remorse? And clearly, if you're still using that midwife sign, there's no remorse.
Well, it's either remorse or class war.
Class war? So
what's class war got to do with
it? Well, because everything. It's my life, Holly.
Matt wouldn't forgive. If that were any kind of posho, I'm using his terminology.
Right, okay.
Who's done something wrong would not forgive.
How do we know that Georgina isn't a posho?
Well, she didn't have the red flags of posho.
What are the red flags?
You pick up on them, Holly. Very, very simple. If she'd included those in the script, then I'd have definitely picked up on that. But then I'd have not forgiven.
So you're saying that Georgina
is the same outcome.
Lower class.
I'm saying Georgina's clearly very classy, but needs to have a rethink of how she parks her car. Yeah. Maybe pay for the parking. That would be my advice. Really.
So poshos actually are better because they are paying for parking and aren't using the midwife sign.
But they're never getting my forgiveness, Holly. And in life, you know, swings and roundabouts.
This makes no sense.
A little bit of class boy here on the nation's favourite comedy podcast. Yes. Here we go then. Let's turn the searchlight onto the parish notice board, Matt, surprise us with what you've discovered.
Yes, I say five star, you say reviews. Here they come. Eric G says, five stars. My favourite podcast. I listen to this every Saturday morning whilst out on a run. I run three times a week, but the other runs I do aren't as fun, as I don't have this podcast to keep me going. I particularly enjoy any accents, singing, and Matt's dreadful reasons to forgive. Singing? When do we have singing?
I did wonder that, yes.
When do we have singing?
I don't know. Actually, we were singing jingles, weren't we, last week? We were doing Fairy Liquid.
Oh, the Fairy Liquid one.
Yeah,
yes, that's true.
Yeah, we were.
That was the one where Matt was wrong.
I seem to remember the jury was out. It was a split decision. No, but well done, everyone. R019DPXMSBSBS.
That's a Russian bot.
Yes, definitely. Russian bot says, good podcast. I recommend this to anyone who like podcast.
Good.
Well done,
what do you
Russian
mean, good?
Bot. What does that mean? That feels like that's been put into ChatGPT.
That's right, it's an AI.
Yeah, Dishy Fishy One says, hello, Father Simon, Brother Matt, Sister Holly and Susie. I love listening to the podcast on my train commute into work. I listen every Monday as a little treat. Keep up the great work. Value less than three. That makes no sense.
A heart.
Thanks anyway, Dishy Fishy
that's
One.
A heart. Really obviously a heart. Get with it, Matt.
Doesn't look anything like a heart, Holly.
Yeah, if you turn it to one side...
Oh, right. There you go.
There you go.
A little bit more like a heart.
Looks like a bottom.
Yes. That way it looks like a bottom, yes. And the other way that it's supposed to be value less than three. But thanks anyway, Dishy Fishy One.
Can you just put a heart emoji? I mean,
such a good point. Yes.
This is
like going back to 2005 or something.
Well, maybe that's when it's
when was that? That was like years ago.
2005.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway.
Am I right, Holly? High five? No? Okay.
Holly, what have you... Have you seen anything entertaining on the notice board?
Well, we do seem to love discussing pampas grass on this podcast.
Yep, absolutely.
And I have a message here from Andrew, and he says... Dear Father Simon, President Matt.
President me. I like that.
President of what?
Carry on. President of everything, Holly.
Of his own mind.
Of me.
Yep.
Yes.
And Sisters of Mercy, Holly and Susie. Many times has pampas grass been mentioned on your podcast with a nod to the odd meaning behind having such a plant in your garden.
Yep.
However, just outside Telford, there is a huge plant in the middle of a housing estate. Photo attached.
Yep.
Does this mean you have to be... one of those people
to
live there.
Definitely.
Great show.
We were sort of skirting around what the pampas grass meant. We didn't need to say what it
means. Telford is famous for
Telford, grass all over it.
Great show, but when will Matt not forgive someone?
Just now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He really has the morals of a sewer rat. Kind regards, Andrew Boycott. Well,
kind regards. What a way to end it. He really has the morals of a sewer rat. Kind regards.
That's one of those sign-offs which is like already there. I'm just going to type some stuff and it's just already got...
Best wishes. You have the morals of a sewer rat. Best wishes.
He's got a point, though, because I see pampas grass everywhere now.
Well, you're in Surrey.
Surrey's just as bad as Telford, really. Riven with it.
Surrey is the home of the swinger, and some of them...
Don't even need to say the word, though, do we?
Some of them moved to Telford.
Skirting around the subject.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway, Andrew, thank you very much. Keep your additions to the parish notice board coming, particularly any garden queries like the pampas grass one from Andrew. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. It's also worth noting that this week you may have received your Spotify Wrapped or Apple Music replay where it tells you what your favourite music and podcasts are.
Oh, yeah.
If we're your number one, and I'd be frankly disappointed if we're not, you could post about it and tag us. At Mr. Simon Mayo on Instagram and Threads, or at Simon Mayo on Blue Sky. Or you could go to Matt. Matt is on the Filth channel.
On the Filth?
Yes. I quite enjoyed the Spotify Wrapped. Did you get yours? Your Apple Music replay? No?
Yes, Apple Music replay, but it didn't tell me anything about podcasts.
Didn't it?
No.
Guess what? Guess what? My top five albums.
Bridge Over Troubled Water.
They were all by the same person.
Paul Simon.
No.
Bruce Springsteen?
No. Mozart.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't realise I listened to so much.
I had Vaughan Williams in my top five.
What have you
got? Yeah, I had Botticelli in my top five.
Yep.
Even though he's an artist.
Anyway,
I haven't looked yet. I haven't looked at my
Botticelli and his cherubs.
Botticelli and his cherubs. Botticelli and the cherubs. What a band name that would be. Botticelli and the cherubs, everyone. Excellent. Well,
that's us at the Christmas party.
Oh, what's the music with Botticelli and the Cherubs?
Botticelli and the Cherubs.
what would it be?
It feels very sort of like, it feels very 60s, doesn't it? Feels like
a bit
proggy.
I think you're Botticelli and we're the Cherubs.
Yeah. I'll take that.
I think Simon's on keys. I think you're on main vocals.
Welcome onto the stage, Botticelli and my Cherubs. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Crowd goes wild.
Uh-huh. Money thrown at me, that kind of thing.
Anyway, you can
artistic differences.
Put all that up on the socials. That would be very nice.
Yes.
But obviously don't put it up if we're not number one. I'm slightly disappointed if we're not number one, but still. A couple of mentions to Janine Moore, Mike G, Samantha Parker, and Ricky G, who are amongst those who got in touch with our secret code phrase from last week, which was, of course, Mind the Jet Wash. Matt will have a brand new secret code phrase at the end of this podcast. Now it's time for the confessions marked in big red letters, NFB, which stands for You Have to Be Flipping Joking. Mm-hmm. It's the not for broadcast, Mark, not for section of the show, starting with Evie. From the email you sent in, your boyfriend, Dave, did sound incredibly annoying, flirting with other girls, constantly singing Oasis songs inappropriately. Mm. That, however, does not excuse you going for a number one in the inside of his acoustic guitar.
Oh my! Wow!
Imagine
how. I mean,
that's a bit tricky.
It is very tricky. Inside the acoustic guitar, so through the thing,
through the hole,
in the.
It could have been
guitar. Awkward. Yes,
he didn't notice that you'd done it until a couple of days later when he lifted up his guitar to play and it spilled over the floor.
it was still in there.
I'd have read that.
I think so. I think that's okay, isn't it?
We can't have that.
No, we can talk around it, can't we? We don't have to say what she's actually doing. But wow. Into the guitar. Good work. I mean, I'd have forgiven that. Definitely.
Really?
Definitely.
Nice.
Don't even need to change that.
Anyway.
No.
Forgiven. That's definitely
too much toilet, I suppose. And Wayne, I know you are having issues with your neighbours and car parking spaces, but you really should know by now that any confession involving you spray painting rude words onto your neighbour's lawn in the middle of the night is obviously destined for the bin. Because also, that's vandalism and it's illegal.
Yeah.
Also, I wonder who's done that.
I know, exactly. It's straight away, it's obviously you, isn't it? So, yeah.
The only one of those that I think we did and got away with was a gardener who'd been fired unfairly. And he planted a very rude message in spring bulbs to come up in the sofa.
Yeah.
So he was sat at Christmas. He spelt out this wonderful message. And when he was long gone, you know, the bulbs came up.
That's quite clever.
It is
clever. It is good, and that's why it got through.
Yeah. It might be illegal, but it's also clever, and so therefore...
It's not illegal. He was just planting bulbs. There's nothing illegal about that.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go back to the confessions that made the cut with Michael's savage sausage story out of the frying pan.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Dear Simon and the Confessional Collective, having listened to your confessions for years, from the dark side to the light, I often thought it would be nice to have a confession to send in. I thought myself unlucky not to have ever done anything worth confessing to. And as I grow older, I've started to realise that my younger years were not so squeaky clean. I finally realised that I am not without the odd sin, for which I now need to confess again. So I come to you now burdened with the weight of culinary guilt and a frying pan full of remorse. You see, I help volunteer with a little charity, and as part of our fundraising efforts, we started a humble pop-up kitchen. It began simply enough, tea, coffee, a bit of squash for the kids, just enough to warm the hands and the hearts of our generous supporters. But things, as they often do, escalated, and soon we were in deep. Bacon butties, sausage sarnies, the lot. We invested in hot plates, cooking gear, even two large three-bay food warmers to keep our lovingly prepared goodies piping hot. We were, dare I say it, becoming quite the event caterers. And then came the moment that changed everything. At one particular busy event, someone approached our modest counter with a very modern request. Do you have an oat milk latte and a vegetarian sausage sandwich, please?
No.
Well, cue awkward shuffling and nervous glances and the truth, because we had neither. No oat milk, no veggie sausages. The patron's disappointment was palpable, a kind of disillusionment usually reserved for when you find out your favourite biscuit has been discontinued, or your children disappoint you, or you lose at home to Fulham. Yes. I've added that last bit.
Oh, have you? Right, okay.
To make it topical. So determined never to be caught again, we embarked on a mission of meatless discovery. We tried every vegetarian sausage under the sun. Pan-fried, grilled, oven-baked, until we found the one. I won't name names specifically, but let's just call it the Belvedere. Tasty, textured, and easy to cook. It was everything that we hoped for. Fast forward to our next event. I pre-cooked the bacon, the pork sausages, and yes, a full six-pack of the Belvederes. They were lovingly arranged into our food warmers, bacon in one tray, sausage in another, vegetarian delights in the third. They were kept separate in everything.
Mm-hmm.
The event began. Bacon sandwiches were flying out, sausages were sizzling, spirits were high, and then, finally, someone asked for a vegetarian sausage sandwich. And then another, and another, and I was thrilled. All our efforts had paid off. The crowd was happy, and even one discerning customer asked what kind of veggie sausage we used, as it was the best they had ever tasted. I beamed with joy and said, "It's the one we specially sourced. It's called the Belvedere." Well, we closed the stall on a high, the team began to pack up, and I turned to tidy the warmers and collect the unused food. And that is when my soul left my body.
Oh, no.
I think you're overstating things a little bit, Michael, but anyway. There, tucked neatly in their bay, untouched and pristine, were all six vegetarian sausages.
No.
The Belvederes, unused,
no.
Untouched, untasted, unsold. I had been handing out pork sausages to every single vegetarian customer. Simon, I cannot describe the feeling. Cold sweat, spinning head, a sudden desire to vanish behind the tea urn forever. To those trusting vegetarians, I am very sorry, so very sorry. You asked for compassion and soy protein, and I gave you pork in a bap. Unknowingly, but devastatingly. Forgive me, for I have served meat in disguise. I hope you can all forgive me for this. Maybe Matt might have trouble here.
Yeah.
I can hand on heart say it was my genuine mistake, even though it was made by an idiot. Yours, Michael. That's him saying that he's an idiot, by the way, not me. Because that is obviously down to the rest of you to decide. So, I don't know, Holly, what are you going to say on this one? Because obviously, if you are a vegetarian, you're a vegetarian either because you disagree with the whole principle or you just don't like the taste.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I know he didn't mean to. I know that he didn't mean to do this, but people take these things pretty seriously.
Yes, they do.
And he gave meat to a whole load of vegetarians or people who maybe couldn't eat meat for whatever reason. It's not great, is it?
No.
It's not good. And I know it was for charity. I know there's a lot of things in his favour, I will say, but he should have been a bit more careful. All in all, it wasn't very good. And that's why I'm not forgiving this at all.
I think
so
you're
sorry.
Probably right. However, Brother Matthew.
Definitely going to forgive this. How did they not spot it was a real sausage? They're supposed to be vegetarian. My wife's vegetarian. I gave her a pork sausage. She'd say straight away, "This is a pork sausage and not a vegetarian."
Have you ever done that?
No, because I wouldn't. Because
you're
I knew that she'd
careful,
spot it straight
see?
Away.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
So definitely forgiven. Just a genuine mistake.
Wasn't Have you ever served her a Belvedere?
A Belvedere. Well, my dear, a bit of Belvedere. No, but always on the menu. So for
what?
All those reasons,
okay, yes,
I'm going to forgive.
Why are you going to forgive?
I'm going to forgive because why didn't they spot it? They should have spotted it.
It was their fault.
It was all the fault of the vegetarians.
The vegetarians.
Once again,
fault.
All their fault.
And the magic of Christmas. Yes,
the magic of Christmas.
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Increasingly baffled.
I saw what lost it with the Belvedere thing, but I then got it back on track as per usual.
But a vegetarian would notice a meat sausage.
Yeah, they would,
unless they believe that the person who sold it to them. Because they might have found, like, the greatest vegetarian sausage of all time, which actually tastes like a sausage. But you're not having any of that.
No, I'm not, sorry.
Anyway, still to come, Mickey's bad basher tale, listening to the wind of change. But first, it's Sid's confession, My Night Nurse.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Father Simon and the Forgiving Confessional Collective. This confession comes somewhat from the grave, as alas, it is not my confession. It belongs to my late father, who sadly passed a few years ago. I've often wondered what verdict would have been passed to my father as he confessed all of what is to come to the Almighty. Okay.
Right.
And now I bring the confession back to earth in the hope that your judgment will bring closure to my pondering, as I believe your confession time rule will reach the same verdict as passed to the confession box in the sky. So basically, what Sid is wanting is for you, Matt and Holly, to basically say what the Almighty would say.
Wow. Right. Okay.
So no pressure.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're in Buckinghamshire. It's sometime in the late 1980s, and it's written in the first person on behalf of Sid's dad. Okay. At handover, Mark said that everything seemed quiet. We are in a hospital, by the way. And the A&E was empty, and all was well with the world. I was a porter. I trusted Mark's judgment in the same way that you would take a stranger off the street and ask him to perform brain surgery on a loved one. He would say the same about me, so basically things are equal. His 2-till-10 shift had gone well, and he wished me luck as he headed out the door and off to the pub, leaving me in charge as the chief porter in the hospital. As it turned out, after the first round of locking up, it did indeed seem that all was well. This night I was in good company alongside 2 fellow porters, also on duty. So after the first security round, all 3 of us converged on the lodge to have a cup of tea, cup of coffee, or in some cases, a nip from a flask. We used to have an old cassette player, and some of us would bring in a few tapes to while away the hours. We were all in good humour and welcomed the choice of music as I hit the play button. The phone rang at about 1 a.m. The call was from the 5th floor and requested the help to take a patient to Rose Cottage. Rose Cottage being a code word for taking a patient to the mortuary.
Oh, right.
Because someone had passed. Body collection was never on my mind when I'd applied for the job. It had been mentioned but glossed over as though it was such a rare occurrence that it was hardly worth a mention. We all got used to it and, as far as possible, dealt with it, and it must be stated, obviously, at all times with dignity and respect being paramount. Having said that, there are moments when happenstance just, you know, happens, and nothing in life can legislate for it. We went off to the mortuary to pick up the trolley and took the lift up to the floor. The body was easy to handle, and we made good time in getting back down to the mortuary and transferring the body into the fridge. We settled down to chat about this and that and waited the rest of our time for the night. More tea, more coffee, more nips from the flask. Apart from a call out to a cot side at 3-ish, nothing much happened. And then I got an odd request. It was from the same 5th floor staff nurse who had told us of the body. And now she had another problem and wondered if I could help. And so it was, I found myself trying to prise a pair of false teeth from the mouth of a dead person.
Ooh.
At 5 o'clock,
oh my.
One damp November morning. I did not enjoy the experience and will not dwell on it.
No.
Upon retrieval, I returned them to the staff nurse, who in turn, after a thorough cleaning, returned them to the rightful owner, who was a nice little old lady who had them beside her bed in a covered glass. Apparently a hapless student nurse had assumed the teeth to be the property of the deceased patient. She had scooped them out and put them in the mouth of the deceased.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
In the next door bed. Luckily, the staff nurse had spotted the mistake before the true owner of the teeth had woken up. So I seek forgiveness from the little old lady for when I delivered the breakfast trolley around 7, she was sat up in bed and beaming with toothy delight in anticipation of buttered toast and without, I hope, any knowledge of the adventure that her teeth had had without her as they had been inserted into the mouth.
Dead person, yeah.
Did I mention that?
Yeah.
I did, yeah.
Oh, dear.
And then Sid had to do, I suppose, he's just helping out, but, you know, it's one of those, Sister Holly, what are you going to say on this one?
I know he was doing his job, but would the old lady really want those teeth back? I don't think she would. I think if she'd known the truth, she would just say, it's okay, he
if
can have
been
those.
Washed, probably. I don't know.
No, you don't want them after they've been with someone who's dead. And so, yes, for that reason, I'm just not forgiving, because I think it should have just been left with the old man. Just leave the guy to rest in peace. And that's why I'm not forgiving.
Presumably he'd lost his teeth as well, the dead person.
Yeah, where was his teeth?
Well, that's a very good
question. It's a mystery, isn't it?
Who knows
where those teeth ended up?
Maybe the system took them.
Yeah, I'm going to say they probably did. I'm going to forgive, mainly because it's quite obviously not Sis Dad's fault. He was, you know, he did what he was supposed to do. He took the body to Rose Cottage and had no idea that he'd got the wrong teeth in. And said, "Did a student nurse? Why isn't the student nurse up before the beak?" That's what I want to know.
Yes, the student nurse who made the mistake.
Yeah, clearly it's them that made the mistake. And I'm pretty sure that this old lady, given the choice between having no teeth and unable to eat your sausages in the morning and having some dead teeth, have the dead teeth.
No.
Because they'd probably be cleaned.
Not.
I mean, a mouth's a mouth. It's all pretty biologically the same. So, for all those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Good afternoon, Father Simon, gutter brother Matthew, and the ever-forgiving Susie Ann Holly, whoever's on duty. Well, the answer is Holly today.
Mm-hmm.
Many years ago, I was sent down the road to what was then our regimental depot to train army recruits, turning young boys into men. Yes, it's an army confession.
Okay. Mm.
I joined my merry bunch of blokes in week two of their training, which was all the boring stuff like drill, weapon handling in a classroom, more drill and kit inspections. By the end of week three, we were talking about their first foray into the countryside to use some of their newly acquired skills out in the field and to learn how to prepare rations, read maps, and actually get to spend the night out in bashes. This is an army term for sleeping under a waterproof shelter, and bashes turn up quite a lot in this tale.
Okay.
So we're doing proper soldier nighttime routine. This was at a local training area near Aldershot called Hankley Common. Anyway, we departed on the Thursday morning with 60 or so excited, mainly teenagers, for the training area, all telling pretend jokes and hoping that they wouldn't let themselves down. We spent the day showing them the expert way of cooking rations, basically chucking everything into a mess tin and then adding curry powder to taste. That's how you cook.
Lovely.
Also how to make real tea. No Earl Grey here, thank you very much indeed. How to put a basher up, which end of the sleeping bag to get into, really, and where their weapon should always be, which was never far from them.
Of course.
The right end of the sleeping bag, weapon always handy. That's the way I always camp.
Yes, quite
sure.
Nice.
We set them up in the woods in a harbour area, took them through the routine of keeping watch, moving round in the dark, no smoking or torches, and the strict discipline of noise control and minimal movement. And don't forget, in capital letters, the staff will always be watching you. So we left them to it for a couple of hours, went for a brew in the comfort of the huts in the compound. After a couple of hours, I went down to the harbour area as duty NCO, sneaked around for around 20 minutes, then after being challenged by the sentry, entered the harbour to make sure all was well. Those not on sentry duty were in the bashes, two to each one, and settling down after what had been an exciting day for them and trying to get to sleep. "Bit breezy out here, Corporal," says one. "It's fine," I told him and commented, "at least it was dry." Time to go back to the huts and leave them to it. It was breezy, he was right. In fact, the wind was building quite nicely, but there was no rain. Heading back, I noticed that the hut lights were off, but thought nothing further of it. Our platoon commander asked if all was well and commented on the wind. I told him they were fine and the routine was going well, and it was weird having a power cut. We all sat and chatted for a bit in the power cut and eventually got our heads down. Overnight, the huts were battered with the wind, and we all thought that it was good training for the Joes, the recruits, especially those who hadn't been camping before. And rising just before dawn, we all toddled down to see them and go through the morning routine. Well, there was no sound from the basher area. Absolutely nothing. The first sentry let out a bit of a pathetic challenge. First night nerves, I thought. I asked how he was, more mutterings, and then we went to the final 25 metres to the actual bashers. And It was carnage. There were trees down everywhere, and the lighter it got, the worse it appeared. There were bewildered recruits trying to get themselves organised, but fallen trees kept getting in the way. Some were trying to haul their kit out of a collapsed basher. Others were trying to lift trees and branches away so that they could appear organised. Some just looked thoroughly wet through and dishevelled. Maybe the army wasn't for them after all. "Gather in," I called, and my section of eight closed in. Well, actually just six did. "Where's Smith and Jones?" I asked. A voice came from under some trees. "Here, Corporal."
Nice.
Because Smith and Jones were trapped under four trees that had collapsed over their basher, just falling short of crushing them. Looking round, I could see evidence of other bashers beaten down by the trees. Smith and Jones were cut out of theirs, and we went into full recovery mode. No casualties, fortunately, which was a miracle. Because this, as you might have guessed, was October the 15th, 1987, the night of the Great Storm, the one where Michael Fish assured everyone there was no hurricane on the way and no one needed to worry. So to the Holy Collective, I don't seek forgiveness from the poor recruits. They probably spent years telling their mates how they'd survived and that it was the best thing ever. No, I seek forgiveness from their parents, their wives or girlfriends, who would have been horrified at what we'd put their young boys through and why we weren't looking after them properly. All parents worry, it's only natural, but maybe this was a bit much after only four weeks into their career rather than 4 years. Okay, well, I suppose if you've camped out in the Great Storm, that is quite a tale. But let's find where the forgiveness lies, because Sister Holly's looking stern again.
Yeah, it's not good. The thing is, he knew it was breezy. They told him it was breezy. He was in the hut and he thought, gosh, this is really, really windy out there. And then at no point did he think, maybe I should check on them, maybe I should help them out.
They're soldiers.
Yeah, I know, but still, they're still human. And they were teenagers. They were very young. Also, he ended the confession with, "I don't seek forgiveness from the recruits." Why not? They survived this ordeal and it was very dangerous. All those trees falling down, it's not good at all, and that's why I'm not forgiving.
Okay, let's check in with Brother Matthew.
So I'm going to forgive because it was all part of the training, wasn't it? They learnt all about camping when it's particularly breezy, and also don't camp too near the trees, or do camp near the trees, but obviously don't be there when they fall over. That's a good lesson learned.
Is that right?
Take that on later in life. And yes, one little life lesson I live by. Yes, definitely forgiven because of all the trees.
Confess All, Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
So,
yes.
Have I got this right? So forgiven because of all the trees?
Because of all the trees, because we all learned a lesson about being near the trees when it's windy.
But that's where they were told to go.
Yeah, it was. But the part of their training was to sometimes improvise when it starts getting windy. Should we stay here where we've been told to be? Or should we move away from the trees because they might fall down? Mm-hmm. Think of that.
Do you think camping in tents is basically overrated?
100%. I've never done it before, and so I never want to.
I don't think it's overrated, because I don't know many people who think it's amazing. It's just, you know.
So you've never camped under canvas?
No.
Or plastic?
No.
Quick drive time holiday
that
next year?
Absolutely horrendous.
All of us under canvas?
What about if the staff brought products to make your stay?
You had a little bell next to your tent you could ring.
No. Everything about it sounds awful. It's like either too hot or too cold. And
or a tree falls on you,
and
you only just escape with your life.
Yeah. Horrendous. Not a good idea at all.
Anyway, on the people's verdict, well, this was fun.
But Martin says, "I forgive. I was one of the teenagers on Hankley Common that night. It was exercise steel eagle. We were parachute regiment recruits. Happy times."
How about that? Okay, so some insider information there.
Yeah.
That's amazing that we had someone who's one of the, I can't remember how many he said there was going to be, but, you know, there are only about 80 or something like that.
Yeah, and he had loads of information that we'd not included in the confession, so it was definitely him.
Yeah, it gave us the name of the operation and everything. Yeah. Okay, excellent. Thank you very much indeed. I'm just checking all the paperwork here. That's the end of the podcast.
It's the end, is it?
I thought for a moment there was something else.
Well done.
There's no extra pages that I've missed. If you have a tale of guilt, ghouls or general wrongdoing, send it in, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.com. UK. Now it's over to Brother Matt for this week's top secret code phrase?
The top secret code phrase this week is Botticelli and the Cherubs. Botticelli and the Cherubs.
How do we spell Botticelli?
Botticelli the normal way. That's how I would spell it. And the Cherubs.
Thanks for the help.
Yeah, no problem.
If you made it this far, you can post the secret code phrase on Threads or Blue Sky or even Instagram at Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads and Instagram on I don't understand Instagram. Or Simon Mayo on Blue Sky.
So has anyone sent you a message on Instagram yet?
I don't know because I haven't actually looked at it for a while.
My guess is the message will include the word hashtag blessed because it sounds like everything on Instagram.
You've never been on Instagram before in your life.
Hashtag blessed. What a sunset. Hashtag blessed.
You're literally saying this to somebody who's never been on it.
Look at my cocktail. Hashtag blessed.
No one does that.
They do.
They literally
do.
Don't.
All the time.
Anyway, it's no wonder that the world's in such a mess, is it?
Yeah. Isn't it?
Hark at what you can squabble about.
Yeah.
And also you can go to X, where you'll find Matthew residing...
Wallowing in the filth.
In the filth.
Yeah.
Remember, please, to leave us a 5-star review, not to sound desperate, but it does boost our confidence a bit, because as you can tell, we're a bit low in the confidence stakes.
That's true.
And of course, don't forget to share the podcast in a bath with a friend and a loved one, or a colleague at work. Well... Why
that
not?
Seems wrong.
Why not?
That would be okay. Go down the same route as
someone who is your colleague. I'm going to say no.
No, let's not do that.
This is like the drive time hot tub idea from months ago.
There was a presenter that we used to work with.
Yes, we've not told that story on air, so let's not tell it now.
Who had precisely that idea?
Yes, he did. Anyway. Edit point. Moving on.
Anyway, if you stop me in the street, I'll tell you who it was.
Yes, you will not be surprised.
No, absolutely you won't. Who would have thought?
Anyway.
Who would have thought that?
No one.
Of the person in question. We'll be back next week with another fresh batch of confessions. Until then, from the cupboard of tat, you'll notice this Dolly's not given anything away.
No, this is like
this
weeks
week.
From end now with no tat.
Well, he didn't ask for any tat, Andrew Boycott. So he was just asking about Pampas Grass. So what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Well, you could pop round.
Pop round?
Compare your Pampas Grass with his Pampas Grass.
With the
I don't have any Pampas Grass.
You said you did.
I never said this. Where did you get this from?
On the little green in front of the...
There is no Pampas Grass on that green. I'm telling you, there's a willow tree, not the same thing.
Wow.
I never said that.
Yeah. I think everyone in Surrey knows exactly that.
Press rewind to a bit about Pampas Grass.
Yeah. Anyway, and from the gutter, Brother Matthew says...
Bye.
Have you said goodbye?
Not yet.
Do you want to say goodbye?
Hasta la vista, baby.
Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
I'm afraid I'm not going to be in the jungle. I'd do it for £10 million, which I would give to Cash for Kids.
Yes.
Nice one, Simon.